So for this, you will need your Bible open, if you would. If you've put it away, please take it again and turn right to the end of the Bible, to Revelation chapter 2, page 243. And you may like to take from the back pocket as well a notebook and pencil, if, like me, you find it aids your concentration to take notes while I speak. An outline of the talk, as usual, will come up on the screen. So let me ask you a question. How do you spend your time? I don't mean what did you do this afternoon. I'm not asking how did you spend last week or even last month. I'm asking a bigger question. How did you spend this last year? Well, put it another way, how are you different from what you were a year ago? How have you changed as a Christian over the last year? That's the question that Jesus asks of the church in Thyatira. Or rather, Jesus tells the church in Thyatira how they have used their time. And he knows. Look at how he's described in verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. The Jesus who speaks to the church in Thyatira and who speaks through this passage to our church, of all saints, has eyes like flames of fire, and they pierce down into our hearts and secret thoughts. Turn over the page for a moment to verse 23. I'm afraid we'll be doing a little bit of this turning backwards and forwards. Jesus says halfway through that verse, verse 23, I am the one who searches minds and hearts. I wonder if there's someone for you whom it's very difficult to hide from that person what you're feeling. Your mum, perhaps, or your husband, or a close friend. They just have to look at you to know how you feel, to know that you're tired, or guilty, or excited, or content. Jesus is the supreme example of that. He has eyes like a flame of fire, reads you like a book. And those eyes know how we are doing as a church. Those eyes know and they judge. Fire is often in the Bible a picture of judgment. Certainly Jesus has eyes of love, of compassion. And he also, says this passage, has eyes like a flame of fire. That's why if you look at the end of verse 23, Jesus says, I will give to each of you as your works deserve. Praise and honor, as we'll see, to all those who obey him, to every church that stays true to him. Rebuke and dishonor to all of us who disobey him. To every church that strays from him. And he is utterly consistent. If you turn back to verse 18, that is probably what his feet like burnished bronze mean. He is planted there firmly. Nothing can move him from where he stands. Nothing can change his settled hatred of sin and his love of godliness. So what does he say about the church in Thyatira, how they are using their time? And do his eyes like a flame of fire see the same things in us at All Saints? He says in verse 19, time is growing your faith. Look at it with me. Page 243 we're on now, and verse 19. Jesus says, I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first. That's a tremendous thing for Jesus to say to any church, isn't it? You're further on, he says, than you were in the past. I wonder if you remember from a few weeks back what Jesus had to say to the church in Ephesus. You have abandoned the love that you had at first. Look on the same page, the left-hand column at verse 5. He says, beg your pardon, verse 4. He says to the church there, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. You've had your ups and you've had your downs, but overall, I have to say, Jesus tells that church, the graph goes down. You don't love me or my Father as you once did. But to the church in Thyatira, Jesus can say exactly the opposite. He begins in verse 19, I know your works. And he ends verse 19, I know that your last works are greater than the first. And he's talking, so the middle of the verse says, about their love and faith and service and endurance. I know the life of your church, he says. Your love for me is stronger. Your faith is deeper. Your serving one another is more consistent. And you keep going under difficulties with greater patience. You may have your ups and downs, but the graph of your discipleship is quite certainly up. As time goes by, your faith is growing. We have a mission statement at All Saints, growing in love for Christ, for one another, or for each other, and for the world. Thyatira was fulfilling that mission statement. Are we at All Saints Crowborough? Can Jesus say the same about us? I know your last works are greater than the first. Well, I believe we are growing. This week, as a staff, we've been away for our annual residential 3 days. It was a time when we made more progress in our thinking, at least that's how I see it, and we were closer as a team than we were when we did the same thing a year ago. We've got much further to go, but we're growing. This week I had Strengthen Your Faith times with 3 people, meeting with them to talk with them about how they can go deeper in their faith, look at the Bible together and pray with one another. Each one of those 3 is growing as a Christian. In fact, almost all my recent Strengthen Your Faith times have been encouraging. Yesterday, I met with 3 members of the church family at my pastoral surgery. Every one of them is eager to serve the Lord and to see this church family flourish. Now, that kind of attitude surely rejoices Jesus' heart. Of course, as a church, we have our ups and downs. And not every Christian in the church family here is going on so well. But overall, I believe that All Saints is in a stronger state than 12 months ago. On our time away, Paul Feasey was telling me about people who are going deeper in faith in 24/7. We are growing in love for Christ, for each other, and for the world. And I believe Jesus is saying to us, yes, sure, that's a long way to go, but time is growing your faith. But that's not all he said to the church in Thyatira, and it may not be all he's saying to us at All Saints. On a more somber note, he also said, time is running out. Not everyone at All Saints, as I've said, is growing in their faith at the moment. Many are, but not all. And not all were at Thyatira. In particular, Jesus talks about a woman in the church whom he calls Jezebel, not because that was her real name, but because she reminded him of Jezebel in the Old Testament, the appalling wife of Ahab, king of Israel, who had such a malign and evil influence upon him. And Jesus says to the church in Thyatira, you are doing nothing to stop this woman's influence in your fellowship. Have a look now at verse 20. But he goes on, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. And what he says is that time is running out for her. Look at verse 21. He says, I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her fornication. He says the same to those who are influenced by her. Jesus calls them her children. This is verse 22. Beware, he says, I am throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her I am throwing into great distress unless they repent of her doings, and I will strike her children dead. So time is running out for them too. He will punish those church family members influenced by her unless, as the end of verse 22 says, they repent of her doings. So what was she doing? And are there any in All Saints Crowborough who are doing the same? Well, I think as we'll see, we have to admit that there are. Turn back a page to verse 20. She was teaching sex outside marriage. Look at verse 20. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. It's just the same, if you remember it last week, exactly the same at the church in Pergamum. And last week we thought about eating food sacrificed to idols, that is, compromising with the attitudes of the non-Christian world around us. In the letter to Thyatira, this week's letter, the emphasis is on fornication, and that is sexual activity outside marriage. And this woman in the church was teaching that was okay. So there are some in our church family who believe and perhaps say that it's okay for you in 24/7 while you're at that stage to lose your virginity. That it's okay for a couple who are seriously going out to be naked together. That it's okay, if it'll save you money, to move in with your girlfriend and sleep together. That it's okay for a married man to have an affair, that it's okay for a divorced woman to have a sexual relationship with a new partner to whom she's not married. Jesus says, I have this against you. You tolerate these opinions. This woman in Thyatira was not only teaching it, she was having sex outside marriage. Verse 21 says, I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her fornication. In the first church where I served, the young leader of the youth group was a dynamic, attractive 18-year-old. And he was having sex regularly, both with the girls and the boys, in that Christian youth group. Sexual relationships are taking place in Christian youth groups up and down the country. And in the equivalent of R&B. And you would think that our 8 o'clock quiet communion service was for exemplary older Christians. But in my time here, two of them separately have had extramarital affairs. Neither of them now in this church. So they're not people I'm talking about who are there now. Jesus says, I have this against you. You tolerate this in your church life. And this woman in Thyatira was leading others into sex outside marriage. Turn back a page to verse 20. I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and is not only teaching, but beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. She was leading other Christians into sexual sin. And Jesus will judge not only her, but them. Verse 22 and 23. Beware, he says, I'm throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I'm throwing into great distress, unless they repent of her doings. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you as your works deserve. And that's the worst, when we not only sin ourselves, but lead others into sin, in this case, into sexual sin. So what are we to do to avoid Christ's rebuke and judgment? His answer is repent. Repent while there is still time. That's just what this woman did not do. Do you remember verse 21? I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her fornication. It's just what those whom she has influenced must do. Verse 22. Beware, I am throwing her on a bed, that is a bed of sickness. And those who commit adultery with her, I am throwing into great distress, unless they repent of her doing. To repent means to turn away from sin and face in exactly the opposite direction. It means to do an about turn in our thinking and our actions. So let me be positive. Jesus is saying, instead of advocating sexual sin, teach purity. And that doesn't just mean Paul should teach purity in 24/7 and Rupert in R&B and all of us preachers to the whole church family. It means in deeper and at the R&B Bible study and in our house groups, let's remind each other of the Bible's very non-PC teaching. And we who are parents must continue to talk about these things and not reckon that because we talked about it when they were 7 or 8, that's enough with our children, and to teach them the beauty of purity and that nakedness and sex is for that wonderful relationship of marriage. And then instead of having sex outside marriage, let's practice purity. Like the one young woman in All Saints who told her parents that she would not go on holiday with them if it meant sharing a hotel bedroom, again to save money, with her boyfriend. Or the recently converted couple at All Saints who, because they are not married, have moved to a 2-bedroom flat so that they are not sleeping in the same room. Let's practice purity. And then instead of leading others into sexual sin, let's help others to love purity. Praising a girlfriend and boyfriend who have deliberately chosen not to spend time in each other's bedroom but stay in the living room. Or the engaged couple who are making sure that they are keeping sex for marriage, and telling these people to encourage them that Jesus really loves that, as well as the fact that the best possible present that you can give to your husband or wife on your wedding night is the gift of your virginity. And if you haven't lived that way in the past, says Jesus to the church in Thyatira, now is the time to repent, to do an about turn, because the time of my patience, he says, is running out. Though for a little longer, the time to repent and to receive my forgiveness is here. And the last thing that Jesus says about time is that the important time is the end. Happily, the majority of the Christians in Thyatira were not into these kinds of sexual activities and not into sexual attitudes and teaching that are against that of the Bible, into what is ultimately, says Jesus, the work of Satan, the devil. And Jesus says to these people, keep going to the end. He says it 3 times. Follow it with me. First, in verses 24 and 25. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching about sexual sin, who've not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I don't lay on you any other burden, only hold fast to what you have until I come. He says it again in verse 26. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations. And then in verse 28 he says, to the one who conquers, that is, who draws on my strength to live as a Christian to the end of their life, I will also give the morning star. Continue, says Jesus, to the end. I was once a Paul Feasey lookalike. I know that's a terrible confession to make. But I was on the staff of a church running the equivalent of 24/7 and 242. The 24/7 group was large. Many of its members came from Christian homes, and many of its members came from non-Christian families and had been converted through the youth group. And on my last night with them, I spoke on a passage of Scripture like this one, and I said, in the big picture, you could say God doesn't care if you're a keen Christian in 1 year's time or 5 years' time. He cares where you're at the end. Of course, he wants you to run with him faithfully throughout your life. But most of all, he wants you still to be running with him and for him at the end. And where are the members of that youth group of mine now? The reality is that some of them, who were strong Christians then, have dropped out of the race. They're nowhere spiritually today. And some of them are absolutely faithful Christians, loving Jesus, serving Jesus, some of them as full-time Christian workers, many in ordinary jobs, and serving Christ flat out amongst their work colleagues and in their church. Some of them nearing retirement now and thinking how they can use that extra time in the service of Christ, keeping going strongly to the end. And to them and to us, if we keep going, Jesus promises that we will share in his authority and in his judging the world. Look at verses 26 to 28. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule them with an iron rod, as when clay pots are shattered, even as I also received authority from my Father. And he promises also an intimate relationship with himself, because it's almost certainly himself he calls the morning star when he says in verse 28, to the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Then he says about all that we've learned from him today, verse 29, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So let me ask, where will you be in 20 years' time, or 30 or 40 or 60 years' time? I'm not asking, of course, where will you be living? But where will you be as a Christian? Will you be still going in the Christian race? Still, as verse 24 says, holding to the teaching of Christ. Still, as verse 25 says, holding fast to what you have. When I came back from sabbatical, I found a postcard from one of the members of my youth group from now about 40 years ago. And here's a little extract from what he says. Okay, he says 30 years in his case. 30 years ago this summer, you gave me a postcard with a text. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It was a profound message to me and still is. In 2011, when I was on the board to celebrate 400 years of the authorized version of the Bible, I chose that text for one of those events. I still recall the talk on this verse at the Christian house party we went on together. And of course, sometimes need to recall it for myself. But I want to thank you for the faithful leadership in our young people's group and the joy, forgiveness, hope, and love that you leaders brought to me with a call to love and serve Christ. I think you can imagine the joy that that postcard brought to me, but much more the joy that it brings to Jesus Christ to know that this person whom I knew when he was in his teens, 30 years on, is still going with Christ. And then will you in 20, 30, 40, 60 years' time still be growing as a Christian? Will your love for Christ be growing deeper? Will your faith in Christ be growing stronger? Will your service of Christ and his church be even more the focus of your activity than it is now? Will you be growing in your patient tenacity as a Christian in the face of difficulties? Of course, Jesus wants you to keep growing over this month, over this year. But what he really wants above all is that you and I keep growing until the end of our lives, or, if that happens first, until he comes again. We're going to have just a moment for silent prayer, and when you feel we've had enough of that, I won't pray at the end, just for silent prayer. I'll pray at the very end after the questions. You take over, Chris. Just for silent prayer, if Christ has spoken to you in any way, here's the opportunity in the privacy of your own prayer to speak back to him.